Well, hello, this is Jeff Gattiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And my guest today was on the site back over the summer when his band Kansas released their stellar record, The Absence of Presence. Today, he's here for something a little different. Tom Brislin is joining me in another episode of My Favorite Christmas Songs, where we talk about the holiday songs that mean something to him. Welcome, Tom Brislin. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, thank you.
It's good to have you back. And before we get into it, let's just talk a little bit first about how things are going. Naturally, the band can't tour behind it, but the record seems to be doing pretty well for you.
Indeed, yeah. We're fortunate that we had some way of connecting with everybody while we were off the road, and what better way than to put out a new album. And it meant a lot to me also, since it's my first record with the group. And it's been really well received, and we can't wait to get back out there and start playing this stuff.
I can imagine. So let's get into this then. I'll leave it to you to kick off where you'd like to start with your favorite Christmas songs.
Okay. Well, for me, I'm thinking of a specific Christmas album, and it's The Ventures Christmas album.
That's
anybody who knows me, yeah. Anybody who knows me knows that I talk about this album all the time. It's actually a desert island disc for me, year round. because you know, Christmas memories—it's all about childhood, right?
Exactly.
So I think about the music that was in the house when I was a kid, and I'm a lot younger than my siblings. And so a lot of the records that were in the house were already kind of old when I was growing up. So this album's from the mid-60s, and it's so fun. You know, the Ventures are a surf rock band, and they just do a whole instrumental record of songs that what they did was, I think they kind of pioneered the mashup.
Their style with those classic songs.
Yeah, and not only their style, but they actually referenced hit songs of the day and were able to weave the Christmas songs in there. For instance, the first song on the record is Sleigh Ride, but it begins like their own song, Walk, Don't Run. And so they play Sleigh Ride in the mold of Walk, Don't Run, and they do this throughout with all these different bands. Like they do I Feel Fine, Beatles. You think it's going to be I Feel Fine, and then it's going to be Jingle Bell Rock or so, one of those things. And I kind of mix them up because they're so, you know, they kind of meld into each other. But one of my favorite ones is on Blue Christmas. They actually do it in the style of this old song called When You Walk in the Room. And years later, in my adult career, I had the fortune of playing a couple gigs backing up the singer Jackie DeShannon, who had a hit with this song in the 60s, and it was on the set list, and we started playing it, and I didn't realize that this was the song. And as soon as I heard the intro, I'm thinking, oh man, it's The Ventures Blue Christmas. I love it. But it was like kind of a full circle moment for me.
And were you able to get Jackie to go into Blue Christmas on the song?
I don't think it was the season.
But it's funny, though, because, again, the Ventures' Walk, Don't Run was their classic and really one of the bands that's always been brought up when you're talking about bands that should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame but weren't there. And that idea, that mashup idea, we did see that come in much later. I do believe they were the first, but even, you know, with, like, Chuck Berry and straight through to the Ramones, where they sort of take their own songs and bring these Christmas songs into it as a way of kind of familiarizing it. So the Ventures really were pioneers in that sense.
Yeah, and it inspired me to create a mashup of my own. When I was with my group Spiraling, we created a mashup of Do You Hear What I Hear with The Who's Baba O'Reilly. And it had a limited release, but it's leaked out, and it's been several years since it came out, but I keep finding it on all these Christmas light fight things that they have, where people like deck out their houses and choreograph the light show to the music, and people seem to like use this recording, so it lives.
And have you ever gone back to that Ventures record and played any of it live in your career?
I have not played it live, mm-hmm. but for many years I was and will hopefully be in the future a part of Glenn Burtnick's Christmas Extravaganza, mm-hmm. which is a big musical event here in New Jersey every December. It's a big benefit. And I started playing with Glenn, you know, back when I was about 22 years old and, you know, playing his originals. And he brought me into this Christmas show, and I played with people like Patti Rothberg and Jill Sobule and Freddie mm-hmm. Johnson and Phoebe Snow. I mean, wow. There were all these people coming on and singing one song. And that was, you know, between Glenn and these other artists, that was my first taste of, you know, playing with established, known performers. Mm-hmm. And over, you know, I just kept doing it every year, and eventually I would bring my band up and we'd play, Spiraling would play the Do You Hear What I Hear mashup, and also ELP's version of Nut Rocker, which is mm-hmm. another one of my favorites. And with one of the musicians who was in, I guess you would call the house band, like me, like we were mm-hmm. on every song, it was a late guitarist named Bernie Browsweater, who's known in New Jersey as a true blues man. But his feature was often the Ventures' Sleigh Ride. And I just loved it. I loved that, just hearing musicians play that live, this tune that I just know from a record every mm-hmm. year.
It's funny, too, because you know, you talk about how that's something that stuck with you because of your siblings and growing up as a kid. And I think that's really what got me into this, you know, as I say all the time, these interviews, my unhealthy obsession with Christmas music, you know, and for me, it's the same kind of thing. I go all the way back and it's, you know, the Phil Spector record, it's the Beach Boys record. It's stuff like that that really, you know, was the foundation back when they were writing original Christmas songs and not just covering the same ones over and over. You know, it almost seems like they don't do as much original stuff now. It's always going back to those classic things.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to blaze new trails when mm-hmm. there's such a traditional feeling about Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's so much about memories. Mm-hmm. So the people who make the decisions of what records get played and all that stuff are probably those who are also getting a little nostalgic.
Yeah, it's hard to, especially now with the way music is consumed, it's really hard to write a new song and have it become that year after year classic. I mean, there have been ones with, you know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra and even Mariah Carey, you know, for better
I was
or
thinking
worse.
Those two, yeah, actually. Yeah. And yeah, like every once in a while, a tune will pop out and get into the mix of the standards. Mm-hmm. And become a standard. So now you have people waxing nostalgic for the Mariah Carey song. And doing remakes of that.
Yeah, and honestly, when you really think about the Trans-Siberian Orchestra part of it, a lot of it kind of does go back to the Ventures because it is that mashup. You know, it is classical songs mixed in with traditional Christmas songs to create something new. So it's kind of continuing that theme all the way through.
Yeah, playing things in the rock style and mm-hmm. the bombastic aspect of it. It's really interesting that they, you know, they also have become sort of a Christmas institution.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought either, you know, with yourself on your own or with any of the band you've been involved in of doing the full Christmas record?
Full Christmas record? I don't know. You know, it's never come up. Mm-hmm. Although I would love to get this Do You Hear What I Hear, Baba O'Reilly mashup, mm-hmm. A proper worldwide release. But one of the things about mashups is that they're not so convenient to license. You have to get agreements from a lot of people, and it's a moving target.
Well, I'll tell you, my little 2 cents for next year, a Kansas Christmas show. I think that would be amazing with the sound that you guys create and the vocals. I think it'd be really cool to see a Kansas show that kind of incorporates some of those sort of classic tunes in.
Well, you know, last December, the mm-hmm. end of our tour, now this wasn't a Christmas show, but it was a special event and it was surrounded by all the holiday vibes. We completed our tour at the Beacon Theater in New York, And we did a one-off show where we played the entire album of Left Overture and the entire album of Point of No Return. Mm-hmm. We had been doing Point of No Return in its entirety, plus other Kansas assorted classics, I guess you could say. But for this show, we also brought in Left Overture, which is such an important album to Kansas and the fans. And I would have loved to do it more because, you know, it's a lot of homework for me to getting those, you know, playing Magnum Opus is not like playing Moni Moni. You know, there's a lot more homework.
That's for sure.
But it was a special event, and just New York is always a very special place to perform on a big tour. And it often happens that big tours that I've been on end in New York, I guess, because you've got all that time, you're honed, and you want to just knock them dead in New York City. But lo and behold, we're there down a few blocks is the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. You know what I mean? So I have great Christmas memories attached with that show. But who knows? You know, maybe we rock out some Christmas tunes one day. Who knows? Anything's possible with Kansas.
Well, and again, being as though you're a Jersey guy, I'm in Connecticut, so, you know, we both know kind of the magic of being in New York and music in New York around the Christmas time. There's nothing else in the world like it. So I can only imagine how it feels to be on stage playing around that time. So that has to be pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's like you said, it's close to home for me. So a lot of my friends and family are there. And a lot of people in the business, fellow performers that I admire. And it's interesting because Kansas, as you know, I mean, it's a heartland band. And we spend most of the year playing elsewhere in the country. But the East Coast loves the progressive rock. And, you know, when we went to New York, there was a real intense energy surrounding the whole event.
Nice. And so just to wrap up, when it comes to Christmas music for Tom Brislin, we are Ventures beginning to end. And that's a good thing.
Side one and side two.
But before I let you go, though, I do have to go back a minute to the absence of presence. And this is a really cool thing, so I've never had the chance to actually do this, you know, live on the phone with somebody before. But as we come upon the end of the year and everyone does their best of lists, the end of the month we'll definitely have the Misplaced Straws Best of 2020. And I'm really happy to say, especially with you on the line, that for me, number one record of the year is Kansas, The Absence of Presence. It's just brilliant. I love it end to end. I listen to it constantly. You hear something new in it every time. So it's great to be able to announce with you on the phone that number one record of the year, at least for Misplaced Straws.
Well, thank you very much. That's fantastic. I appreciate it, and I'm sure the band will appreciate it too.
Well, Tom, thank you. Best of luck. Have a wonderful holiday season. Hopefully we can get you guys back on the road and say hello soon.
Yeah, thank you. Happy holidays to you and to all your listeners. Please stay safe, everybody. We got to get back on the road. So hang in there and have a great season. And hopefully we'll be talking soon.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, Tom. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.